So welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast, the pod that gives real fans real voices. Straight punching to the chest. We give it to you raw and with honesty.
The real problem the FA had is they didn't know who to bung money to. That was the real problem there, because at the end of the day, they lost out, didn't they? They lost out. They tried to bung someone and they bunged the wrong man.
You know, a lot has been said in the media. It's all Jose's, you know, antagonised the players and that's why they can't perform. I'm not having that. At the end of the day, you're professional. You get on the pitch, you pay your big money. Get on the pitch and do what you need to do.
Still don't rate Gomi, right? I just don't like him as a player. I don't like that stupid Panther celebration. That would scare my kids. But he stopped it now because he's not frigging scoring, George. You know what I mean?
My name is Jordan, and I'm going to announce my panel for this week in a second. Just a reminder, FFP_11 is our Twitter handle, and you can find us and subscribe to us via the iTunes Library Football Fans Podcast. So this week I'm joined by our Chelsea supporter, Gabriel, our Tottenham fan, Ollie, and our Manchester United fan, Marvin. Let's get straight into it, gents. This is going to be the last pod of the calendar year for a few weeks till we get into the weeks of 2016. Going to try and get through as much as possible on this week's pod. So let's kick off straight away with the big news. Because Jose last week being sacked. I think I asked about a month ago, Ollie, and I think it was Marvin, do you feel that Jose would finish the season at Chelsea? Was it you two that asked about a month and a half ago?
I remember it was me and Natasha. And I remember me and Natasha said he wouldn't last the season.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the third person was though.
I feel like I thought he would see it in, but that was pre-Bournemouth.
It was. start off with one word answer, guys. Was it the right decision, Marvin?
Yes.
Ollie?
Yes.
Gabriel?
No.
You knew that was coming.
So I saved you for last.
Well, it's 9 defeats this season in the league so far. 4 have been at home. I counted that you've actually lost 9 defeats, Chelsea, in the league across the 2 previous seasons.
Yeah.
We're not even into Christmas yet and you've lost 9 defeats already. John Terry was most people's pick for Defender of the Year last year, most people's Team of the Year. This year he's been subbed at halftime 3 times. Eden Hazard was the Player of the Year last year. He, this year, has not scored a Premier League goal. I think his assists are 2 in the league as well. Really, really poor. And you are currently 1 point off relegation zone.
Good research, George.
Very good research. tell me why it was the wrong decision, G.
Well, I mean, going by what you've said and looking at the results, then if you're going purely by results, then it's the right decision. But I think overall, we have had a problem and a culture in our club where managers bear the brunt, where players are not performing. And I think, you know, a lot has been said in the media. It's all Jose's, you know, antagonised the players and that's why they can't perform. I'm not having that. At the end of the day, you're professional. You get on the pitch, you pay your big money, get on the pitch and do what you need to do. So for me, I think I would have taken bad results. I would have taken a bad league position just to show players that at the end of the day, you can't, every time you're not happy with a manager or every time you're not happy with something that's going, you can't just down tools. So if that is the reason they've down tools because they're not happy with Jose, then I'm not happy with that. So and you saw the reaction that the Chelsea fans gave to the players. I think that encapsulates that view. But also as well, I mean, in terms of this, it's because, I mean, I thought Michael Amanado's interview was a disgrace. You know, and I think he kind of really just kind of left Jose out to dry and defend players, a lot of which he's kind of brought in to make himself and the players look okay, and just kind of leave Jose to the wolves, you know. And for what Jose's done for the club, he should get a lot more respect than that. But I mean, the other argument is that people who Jose tends to back or have backed Jose have also played bad. So, you know, you saw what John Terry put on Instagram once Jose went. It was pretty emotional. I don't think it was fake. And he's played bad as well. So is it all that everybody hates Jose? Or is it that's been an excuse for the poor performance, the terrible performance of a lot of our big players this year? So for me, I think it was the wrong decision. I think anyone else we get now is going to be a step down from Jose. Like I said, looking at the results, you know, people have been sacked for a lot less. Yeah, people have been sacked for a lot less, but I would have stuck with him.
Okay. And moving forward now, how will the dynamic at Stamford Bridge be now in terms of the fans obviously want to support their football team, but they're clearly still vexed about the performance the players have been putting in. So even when you were scoring the goals, there were cheers for 2-3 minutes after the goals, and it was straight back to Jose Mourinho and obviously kind of even making it clear and boots from the players even as well. How is that going to work at Stamford Bridge?
The atmosphere was awful. It was pretty much similar to how it was when Rafa Benitez was there, where you kind of feel that people, everyone obviously wants their team to win, but you feel like they don't mind if they lose, just so that some emotion can come out and some animosity. And that literally, there was infighting within the fans themselves, because some fans were like, come on, we still got to get behind the team. Other fans were like, no, we're annoyed. And I saw about 3 fights from where I was sitting with different people. Just kind of,
but that's just Chelsea fans, idiots.
Of course, what I would say, I knew
they're
that
not
was
the bridge, they're in prison. It's one of the two.
So yeah, it was a really bad atmosphere. It was, you know, the players' name, when they announced people's names at the beginning, they got booed, and people were taken off. They got booed. I think throughout the game, I mean, pretty much every Chelsea player has a song, but the only player whose song was getting sung really regularly was Willian's song. And I think Willian got like a huge cheer at the beginning when they announced the names, because people appreciated what he's done. So it was, there was a balance. It wasn't all booing.
That's only because it's an anti-Spurs song, though, isn't it?
It's a very good anti-Spurs song as well. So yeah, but Willian got a lot of praise. But apart from that, everyone else really got it, and it was a toxic atmosphere. It really was.
Okay, so Ollie, now in terms of moving forward for Jose, we're going to touch on Pep a little bit later on, but what is this? What do you think he was wronged, and do you feel that he would feel that what he'd done for that football club justified the treatment that he got? Okay, it's a shocking season. The stats are really, really grim. But his argument would be, I brought you guys three Premier League trophies. I've made you one of the biggest clubs in Europe. You can't give me half a season, a poor season.
I just wonder with Jose if there was part of him that kind of wanted to get out for quite some time. And I said this a couple of months ago on the pod, that he looks like a man who doesn't really want to be there anymore. He looked, for some time, he looks miserable in press conferences. He's kind of sullen all the time when he's talking to the media. And some of his post-match interviews have just been absolutely bizarre, and he looked like a man who wanted to get the sack. He's been willing the board to sack him for quite some time. If you remember the 7-minute rant after the Southampton defeat, you know, I won't go, they'll have to sack me, you know. And then, as much as Gabe says that they shouldn't have sacked him, what he said after the Leicester game, that was it. There's no way back after that. We all knew that. So, you know, Gabe can say what he wants about, oh, well, you know, it was a wrong decision and whatever. Once a manager says, the team betrayed me, they didn't do what I... There's no way back for you.
But that is a misquote.
And let's be honest, we were both texting each other and saying, that's it, he's gone. He's gone. Because you can say what you want after the game, say the team, we were rubbish, we didn't do well. But when you say, when you actually start, you start pinholing the team and saying, look, they betrayed me, it's over.
Gee, isn't the problem there that Jose is notoriously known for defending his players? Even when they're in the wrong, he always defends his players. Yeah. This, for the first time, he turned on his own players. That surely makes his position untenable.
You see, the thing is with the... I think he was maybe ill-advised using the word betrayed. But if you actually go back to the quote, what he said was, my work was betrayed. Almost his tactics were betrayed. Talking specifically, and he did specify about, you know, about Vardy and Mahrez, and showing Mahrez on the inside and Vardy getting in between the two centre-backs, which is pretty obvious stuff. I mean, Louis van Gaal said a pretty similar thing, in that we trained all week for Vardy's threat. And then, you know, they still got on the corner, they still scored on the counter. So I think, yeah, the word itself betrayed, and I think the headline made it seem a bit worse than what it was. I think Jose was looking...
Gabe, it wasn't about the headline. The moment that you heard what he said last Monday, I was just thinking, I remember I texted Jordan and said, that's it, he's done. He's done, it's over. We all knew it's over. Marvin, you knew it was over. Once he said that, it was over, right?
The thing is, the bit for me wasn't the word betrayal. It was the fact that he said, last season, I've made these players appear better than they actually
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely, and that's but that, terrible.
But I agree with that.
No, I agree. But if I'm one of those players sitting at home, basically what that manager is saying is, I'm shit, and he made me look good, but now I'm shit again. But like, you can't. It takes a lot for you to then look inside yourself and think, oh, I'm going to prove him wrong. You know what I mean? I'll show him. You know what I mean?
You've lost me at that point.
I'm at the bottom. I'm towards the bottom of the table. My manager, rather than, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, he's talking about we need to hunker down and, you know, unite as a club. Weeks later, you get packed out by Leicester, and now it's not about hunkering down. It's about him saying, I'm doing my job. That made these guys look good. And now you're seeing what, like, he said, you know what? My cloak of disguise has been pulled down. And everyone can see, you know what I mean? It's like you pulled Stamford Bridge down. It's like a guinea pig in a wheel just going around. Like, it was, for me, I was thinking, I felt bad for the players.
And is he wrong, though? I mean? Because pre Jose, Hazard and Fab hadn't won a Premier League title.
Yeah. No, I mean, first thing, again, you're taking a small quote of a long sentence, which he said.
Let me say it.
Because what he said was, either, and the either was there. He said, either these players weren't good enough and I've brought them to a level that they could never achieve, or we've just underachieved massively. So there was an order to it. Fair enough. Jose knows how the media works and knows how these things will be spun. So he should have been more careful with his words. And I think he has deliberately put that in because he wants to make that point. But I don't believe he is wrong. I think if you look at that, if you look at the squad, I actually think the squad he inherited before he came, apart from maybe the fact that we needed a striker, is better than the squad that we've got now. And that's partially his fault. So I'm not taking that away from him. I mean, that's where I'd say his blame lies mainly.
Do you not think there's a chance that he actually by that there was a point where he just thought, I want out of here? Do you not think that could be possible, Gabe?
He was just pushing to get that.
When you look at it, when you look at what I've heard over the last week, certainly the stuff about, and you've probably heard it yourself, the stuff about how Chelsea did not come back into the season prepared for the season.
Yeah.
They decided, for whatever reason, they were going to play themselves into fitness as they went on. Yeah. And then they realised, God damn, everyone else is just too fit for us. We can't cope. And Chelsea, by the time they realised that they were in trouble, the genie was out of the bottle, and all the teams were just like, Chelsea, we ain't got nothing to fear. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
And Chelsea were in trouble. So, you know, they came into the season unfit. That's his decision. That's a bad decision. He's come into the season with the players unfit, and then they're playing catch up from there on in.
Yeah.
And then he's making a series of bizarre post-match interviews, doing a series of bizarre interviews where he's just going on about stuff. If they want to sack me, sack me, and the players have got to stay on side with me, and all this sort of stuff. Where you just start thinking, does he want the sack? He actually looked like a man to me who wanted out, Gabe, who wasn't actually that. And the fact, and what he said post this business, oh, I'm going to stay in London. Oh, you know, I'm looking for a new job. He gets seen at the Brighton game. He's touting for the next big job to come up. I just got the impression that
he is a
man who's just thinking, I ain't up for Chelsea, you know. I've done what I come to do. I won the league and now I'm ready to go.
Personally, I don't think he wanted out, but I can understand the view. I can, from what you're saying, I think it depends on the way you take the words. I mean, you could say someone saying if they want me gone, they have to sack me, as defiance, as saying, you know what, I'm staying here, I'm sticking in. And he said quite a few times that he wants to say it, in different phrases as well. But I can't understand why it would appear like that, because you just think, why would you say it anyway?
All right, so moving on away from, we'll get to Chelsea in a second actually, regarding United. But just final point on Chelsea. I asked a question about a month and a half ago when he was under pressure then. Could Chelsea afford to sack Jose? And I didn't mean financially, I mean in terms of if they sack another big manager after winning the league just 6 months ago, what does that say to other potential suitors that you're sacking your guys after 6 months winning the league? Do you think this will have repercussions in terms of trying to lure a Pep Guardiola, a Simeone? Because they might think, well, if you're sacking those guys after 6 months winning the league, I don't want that.
No, because I think, honestly, managers' egos will always make them believe that they can do a better job than the last guy. And honestly as well, I don't think that getting sacked at Chelsea does anything to your reputation. In fact, people kind of expect it. You know, Jose's got sacked and gone on and won Champions Leagues after. Same with Ancelotti, you know. You know, you're not going to get sacked from Chelsea and end up in a championship job, you know. So I don't think that'll be a big problem. The bigger problem is who do we appoint now, because we've gone through literally everyone.
Okay, we'll come to that in a second as well. Marvin, is moving forward now with Jose, we're expecting breaking news during this actual pod regarding your manager, LVG, his position.
I'm watching my phone, but I'm hearing it.
Beep off every 2 seconds.
No, I'm hearing it's all rubbish, and it was just a tweet that somebody done
okay.
as a joke. And
okay, okay.
So get me, that's my Christmas ruined. Okay.
Well, I was going to ask you, is Jose the right man for your club, or would he just be a means to an end?
I mean, I've got really mixed feelings about it, because it's hard. It always comes back down to like the big issue, man. You know what I mean, Jordan? If he's doing the job, anybody else that's available, you take them above him. And LVG is so bad that you think, you know what, Jose's got pedigree, he's got track record, he's done it. You know, he can't be worse than LVG. That being said, you know who I am as a person, and I've always been a lover of history. Do you know what I mean? Boasting to Gabe, I've always been saying, how many youths you bring through? You know, only John Terry, we got the Busby Babes. And I just feel like by appointing Jose, we're ushering in a time of big money, no youth, and a lot of controversy that isn't anything to do with on the pitch. But that being said, I mean, desperate times calls for desperate measures. If he's the guy, then I'll get behind him, but he wouldn't be my first choice personally.
Okay, would Jose taking the United job tarnish his Chelsea legacy? Because I remember in a press conference when he came back to Chelsea, he was asked.
Surely it's tarnished already, George. He's been sacked. He's been sacked.
Well,
he's
not,
been,
not with the fans.
George, he's been sacked not with after the fans. 6 months. And whoever Hiddink's now in there, and Hiddink ain't talking about Europe. Hiddink's talking about survival in the first instance.
Well, no, I think the fans, by and large, as we're hearing from Gabe, he's still a legend to them. But if he takes the United job, he said in a very early press conference when he came back to England that Chelsea was the only club that he would join if he came back to England. It's the club of his home, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If he now joins that lot, would that affect the
Manchester
legacy?
Manchester United.
Would that affect his legacy with the Chelsea fans?
I think it would depend how he approached it. So I think probably initially not, because I think there's a lot of sympathy for the fact that he's got sacked. And I did hear that quite a bit at Stamford Bridge, where he's going to go United now, and who could blame him? Because that's another job in England. But the thing is with Jose is you just never know. There's always something that he might do to burn a bridge, like run down the touchline, run down the touchline and start celebrating or something. So that's where there could be a problem. I couldn't see him manage it. I mean, he doesn't tend to stay in jobs for many years. But if he did stay in a United job for 2-3 years, I couldn't see a day where he didn't clash with someone in the Chelsea coaching staff or someone that might put some doubt, I wonder, over the relationship.
Mm. All right. Ollie, if they do pick up Jose, is that a problem for the club, not as much the team, Manchester United, in terms of that kind of... trophies will come, but at the cost of bringing through young players, the reputation of the club, the brand of football that they may play. Because there's this myth that people think that if Jose comes in, the football will be amazing as opposed to what they're seeing right now. But Jose is basically on the same ilk as LVG. So do you think that it's a gamble worth taking, and that they'll get trophies at United, but at the cost of what Marvin was saying earlier on?
It's hard. Man United are in a bad place at the moment for a club of that size. I was looking at their team on Saturday against Norwich. I was shocked, man. I was looking at their attacking options.
The game you said, by the way, last week, there's no chance they would lose.
I held my hands up and say, I did say, you're absolutely right, yeah.
I kept very quiet.
I couldn't believe that United could lose that game, but lose it they did. And wow, I mean, to lose their Cameron Jerome goal as well.
Ollie,
I mean,
Ollie,
the man
Ollie,
can't score a goal.
Ollie. Jordan asked you about Jose Mourinho.
You've spoken for at least
1 minute with no mention of the question.
No,
you know, in your mind, you thought, I don't give a damn.
I've got an agenda.
I'm just gonna lay. Ollie, you said as you came in, you were like, "I'm gonna have it here." Just listen.
Let him finish.
All I want to say is, Jordan's gonna give. At some point, I know Jordan well enough. He's gonna give you a clean shot at us. Wait for the shot. Do you know what I mean?
One's coming. Don't worry.
Because this is part of what I'm saying. But what part of what I'm saying is, I looked at the team. You're asking me if Mourinho is the man who's going to come in and make a difference. But there's some serious surgery that needs going on there. He spent all that money, Van Gaal, 250 mil. I'm looking at that team the other day and I'm thinking, God damn, the man that you can't stand, the big issue man, right? He's got to be one of your best attacking players at the moment. That's how bad it is. I'm looking at Ashley Young and thinking, who's better than Ashley Young in attacking sense for Man United at the moment? Martial, Mata, that's it. And he's good. Then they've got like Fellaini and Carrick in there. I'm thinking, God damn, this team looks poor. And the point I'm going to make is that Mourinho comes in there. What's he going to do with that team? He doesn't like Mata, right? He already outed Mata before. He's going to look at that team and think, oh, who can I, you know, it's going to be more of the same. So I don't know what Mourinho can do to change that around, to get a team that he wants, to play the kind of way that he wants. And where's the spark at the moment? I don't see the spark. I don't see how he can change it around. I'm sure he could get them running around a lot more. But really, there's a real problem there at Man United. I think they've got a real identity problem about where they're going to go now. Ferguson was so good in terms of getting them, you know, giving them an identity. They're a club who they got players coming through the ranks and they had Man United, you know, running through their veins and whatever. But now you've got a load of players there who've got no real affinity with a club and you're looking at, and then you've got them mixed with players who just aren't good enough to play for Man United. So, and Mourinho isn't a team builder. I don't see Mourinho as a team builder. So the point I'm making is I'm not sure that he's the right man. Yeah. But in the short term, he'd be fantastic.
You mentioned the word surgery at that club. If they don't get top four this year, that's twice out of the next. Because they've gone from being a team that needs to get back to winning trophies to now just being a team that needs to solidify being a top four team again, really. Yeah. That'll be 2 out of 3 years out of the top four. He's the only person that can really think salvage a top four placing for that football
Mourinho
club. Yeah,
I'm
assuming. I've got no.
So isn't it a case?
Yes,
of,
I got no. If we're talking about just finishing in the top four, I got no doubt if Mourinho went in there, Man United would finish in the top four. But as if they stay with Van Gaal, I don't think they. I'm not sure they will because I think there's
top six.
There's a serious disconnect there, and I don't think those players. I don't think those players enjoy playing for Van Gaal at all.
Is anybody else or anyone here excited about the prospect of Jose at United, Pep at City, Wenger possibly a champion manager next season at Arsenal, and Simeone at Chelsea? Some big heavyweight football managers in world football. My only person that's really geared up by the prospect of these heavyweight managers in the Premier League.
Give me a while to get over Jose Guardiola.
you're still mourning.
No, I think that would be good for football. I think I'm more interested, though, in seeing in who people sign next year as a result of the new TV money that's coming in. But I think Pep at City, I'm not...
But don't the managers have a big say in who gets signed? It's easy to get Messi, for example, at City if Pep's there.
Yeah,
if Pellegrini's still there, you're not getting Messi.
I'm not sure how Pep would fare in the Premiership. I've really got to be honest. I mean, Thierry Henry yesterday on Sky was like, whoever he goes, it will be an improvement. I'm not so sure. You know, he's gone into teams where they've been the finished article and he's took them to another level. Don't get me wrong, I won't discredit any of his work. But I think if you look at Chelsea, you look at Man United, two of the teams that might be looking at him, I think there's some major surgery that needs to go there.
That he couldn't do.
Where has he done surgery before? I mean, it's one of these things that, you know, people always say, oh, Jose hasn't done this. You know, he hasn't created a legacy. He hasn't done this. What has Pep done? Pep hasn't stayed anywhere for more than 4 years. Pep hasn't. I mean, he was in the Barcelona youth ranks, so I guess he will get some credit for managing the youth ranks and managing those players who then developed. But then those players were there. I don't think I can't credit him with creating that Barcelona system. That system was there with Rijkaard before
but
him.
But then some of those younger players are players that he would say he brought through. So, you know, Busquets and those sort of people were players that he brought through and then brought into the first team.
I think sometimes having a great crop of young players at your disposal doesn't necessarily mean that you're particularly great at bringing through. And, you know, who have Man United got? Is he going to bring through Paddy McNair? I don't see what he would do. I mean, even City, I look at City and think they've got a lot of good players, but why can't they make it connect? If I was him, I'd go straight to City because worst comes to worst, at least they've still got more money than everyone else, so they can buy a lot of players. I'm not sure he would do a great job for Man United.
Well, it's still an argument to say with Guardiola that he still hasn't, unless they win the Champions League this season, he still hasn't done, he hasn't equaled what Henkes did there, has he? Yeah. Henkes finished there winning the treble. And up to this point, he's been, you know, in Marvin's words, he's been packed out. Every time he gets to the latter stages of the Champions League, you know, they've been whacked by Real Madrid and then whacked by Barca. Sorry?
But the Bayern fans may argue the football's better.
Would they? I'm not sure they are. I think there's some of those people who would turn around and say that they've been totally naive. When they've come up against the big two from Spain in the Champions League, they've been completely humiliated. Both times, Real Madrid slaughtered them. And he was playing his ridiculous three men at the back or really high line against... No one in their right mind plays a high line against Bale and Ronaldo. The way they were playing that season under Ancelotti, they played into Real Madrid's hands. Real Madrid and completely annihilated them. Mm. And Barcelona again annihilated them. So there's quite... You know, there is what Gabe said. There's definitely questions to be asked about Guardiola because when he's come up, it's all right Bayern Munich winning the league by a canter, winning the league before the halfway point. Yeah. They win the Bundesliga and then it's like, right, okay, you've only got the Champions League to worry about. And every time they've come up against the big test of playing against the big two in Spain, they've been annihilated.
Marv, are you a fan? And if you were Pep, where would you go? Assuming that you have four clubs in England wanting you, where do you go?
Can I just also make the point that
here we go.
Everyone's going on like the personnel at United is garbage, right? I mean, we're talking about, for me, I hear what people are saying, but before Schneiderlin was signed, he was billed as probably the best DM in the Prem.
He's a good player.
Bastian Schweinsteiger, I said it before, he's won it all, right? Carrick's getting on. Martial, Martial is one of the biggest young talents that we have
not good enough in
world football.
He's not good
the
enough.
Depay was the best thing that Holland's ever seen. Like, for me, what these players need is man management. To say, oh, there's nobody there and it's thing. A good manager could get a lot. Matter is one of the best players in the Prem at finding space. He is not doing that. He's not getting the movement. I don't think he's lost a bit of confidence. And LVG is not getting the best out of those players. For everyone to sit there and think they've got nobody, I just think is ridiculous. I would take my squad over Chelsea's any day of the week, right? Simple as that, right?
That's a big call, Marvin.
I stand by that.
I'm not happy with my players at the moment.
At least pretend to defend the team.
So
big shot, he's just living with you there.
So, that's a massive call, Marvin.
Yeah, I'm sticking to it.
That's nonsense.
So I just want to make it clear that as bad as United have been, I still think there are some good players that need a good manager, right? That's my first point. In regards to Pep, 100% agree with G.
That so you've just basically done what I did earlier on. Not answer the question, but get digging.
at least that was discussed, you know what I mean? I was responding to somebody else, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like I sat there going, United played brilliant, Norwich went bang out of line. Like, you just came out of nowhere.
No. There was a reason why I said what I said, and it came round to the point. It came round to the point that I don't think that Mourinho is the kind of manager that Man United need right now.
I think they've got
a lot of players at Man United who aren't quite
so
good
hang on,
enough.
Hang on. That's a big call. I'm going to pick up on that. Before you get on to Pep, let's go for the two teams. Let's go for the spine of the Chelsea and the United team. Yeah. Forget form.
So you're going to give me the spine, right? So we're going to do keeper, De Gea, defender, midfielder, striker.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Keeper for keeper. De Gea probably just shades that. There's not a lot in that.
No, I think he actually shades it.
I'm a Thibaut fan, personally, but I can understand why De Gea is the better one.
Yeah, well, then that's why you would say he just shades it.
I'll go with De Gea, yeah.
Okay, De Gea.
I'll go with Thibaut, so.
No, you would, yeah. So can I clarify
that what I said earlier on was I'm talking about Man United's attacking players. I'm not talking about defenders. I'm talking about attacking players, right? I'm saying their attacking options against Norwich the other day. I was looking at their team from the midfield forward and thinking, Carrick has gone, right? Carrick is not the player he used to be. Fellaini, you surely are not going to try and tell me Fellaini is a top player.
To be honest, I was responding more to Gabe, the Paddy McNair thing sort of cut.
Yeah.
but you started the snowball, yeah. And he carried it on. So I hear what you're saying.
Right, let's go for it then.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Smalling for John Terry.
Well, it's a no-brainer, George. Come on.
Golly.
Smalling or John Terry? Well, John Terry's gone, isn't he?
Not on form, you know.
If you're talking
about defender, the two.
Well, at the moment, I'd say Terry just because he's got the experience. Okay, but Terry. Smalling's coming up fast.
Terry or Smalling?
I'm going to go with Terry.
Okay. Who's your midfield linchpin?
What, are we doing an AM or are we doing a DM here?
You can do both.
Because when I was thinking about it, I was doing Matt versus Fab.
We can do both.
Yeah, I was doing Matt.
So Matic versus Schweinsteiger?
No, I think.
Say Matic versus Schweinsteiger.
I would take Matic over Schweinsteiger.
Matic.
Matic's been so poor this season.
forget
form.
Matic.
Yeah, Matic.
Right.
Yeah.
AM, Mata versus... Who's number 10?
It'll be Oscar.
Okay.
No-brainer.
Mata.
I said once before that swapping Mata for Oscar was like Wendy Williams for Beyonce. So there's way you're going to get this.
Wendy Williams! Is she your brother?
And finally, Martial Costa.
Anthony all day, innit? Simple.
I'm not going with Martial because I don't think Martial is there for at the moment. It's Rooney. So it's Rooney or Costa.
Okay.
It's Rooney.
He's your main striker.
At the moment, whatever Marvin might say, might like it to be, the fact is that when they had both of their players available on Saturday, it was Rooney up top. Whether Rooney's playing rubbish or not, Rooney is still the captain and he's still Man United's main striker.
So I'm assuming you're
going to change it. So Rooney or Costa?
I would just have a false number 9.
Okay. So I think you know the answer to that one. Costa, and I'm assuming you want Costa as well, the two.
Costa by a smidgen.
In terms of striker, I think it's Martial. I really do.
It's
even when you look at
who's your main centre forward.
In terms of who's getting the starts.
Yeah, who's the go-to?
It's more about preference, right? If you said to G, who would he play up front for Chelsea? Who would you say, G?
What would I play up front for Chelsea?
No, I'm not asking who you want or who you want. I'm saying who is your main centre forward? It's Rooney.
Yeah, but when I said I'll take the squad over Chelsea's squad, I wasn't saying I'll take Rooney over Costa. I would take the attacking players based on performance. Over the Chelsea players,
okay. But based on performance, yeah. it's difficult to make the argument.
I think I don't see that Man United have got anyone. I know Hazard's been poor, but they've got no one like Hazard in their team. Agreed. Man United remind me of the way Spurs play in that way that they're so slow in their build-up. They've got no ball carrier. They've got no one who can pick up the ball deep and just break forward Hazard can do.
Is that because the personnel's not there, or is that because of the
both,
you know, in quotes, philosophy.
Both. It's both.
I disagree. I don't,
who,
I
who really have you, who's a ball carrier at Man United?
I think Schneiderlin can carry the ball with no problem.
I think
Schweinsteiger can as well.
No. He's saying
someone, give me the ball, I'm going to beat two players and put someone through.
I'm talking about someone who picks the ball up deep in their own half.
I think Depay can beat a player. I really do. I honestly feel that another manager could get a much better return out of the players. I'm not saying we don't need players, but for everybody to stay there, think United need this, they need that. They need a good manager. They need somebody that is not going to play two DMs against teams that are lesser quality.
At Old Trafford.
You know what I mean? Some
people would say that LVG is a top manager. And when he came in, he was heralded as a top manager.
Yeah,
it was supposedly a great signing.
People King come Louis. In and they get heralded and things don't work out, right? It's like nobody's denying that LVG has a CV, right? But there isn't a football lover on this planet that looks at LVG, looks at how Manchester United are playing right now, and think LVG is the man for the job right now. I'm not even sure LVG thinks
but
he's
then,
the job
but
for
then,
the
but
right
then,
thing,
I, but
right,
then
right
I know a lot of Man United fans, you know, who would say to me, my brother's one of them, who would say to me, LVG's a genius because he's making a really bad side. He got a really bad side in the top four, and he's copied. And let's be honest, there's no, for all the talk about how badly United are playing at the moment, there's no crisis. Man United are still.
Depends who you talk to.
United are still level on points. I know it's not what United should be aiming higher than that, but United are still level on points with the top four. So, you know, there's no crisis in that respect. Yeah. And the fact is that he would say to me, LVG is a genius because he's making a bad side look stay in the top four and get better results than they
are. Would another top manager do better than what he's doing? Well, even if the team is not all that, surely another top manager of his bracket would do better than what he's doing.
Well, I don't know that's the argument. It's an argument. I'm not saying that, listen, I'm not a Man United fan, but the point is that I'm not saying that. The question is whether you believe that. Listen, I know he's paid the 250 mil. We know the headline. But the question is, how good is that Man United team? Is it good enough to be doing better than they're doing? I agree with that. But then that could be a crisis of confidence, Jordan. Let's be honest, you as an Arsenal fan know how much when you go out of the Champions League sometimes, there's a massive dip and you have a few games, a few weeks where you're not playing well. And, you know, it's a massive confidence.
It can happen, yeah.
It's a killer, isn't it?
One word, where will Pep be next season?
City.
Okay, let's move on now to the bottom end of the league. I know we've done Chelsea a little bit, but we're going to talk about the
we're getting to Christmas as well. I want to be there when you look at the league. You've been looking at it for ages.
I said January.
Start of UG. Will all three of the promoted clubs stay up this season?
So we've got Watford,
Bournemouth, Norwich.
I think Norwich are in trouble. And I think Bournemouth might get dragged into it as well. So no, I think Watford will be okay. But I think the other two could get dragged, especially with Bournemouth. They've been really unlucky with the injuries. They've had a really good purple patch of form at the moment. But I wouldn't rule them out of getting dragged into the end.
With those injuries, they've just beaten your lot and United in a week. So when their players come back, surely they can beat the likes of West Brom and Newcastle.
Jordan, everyone's beat us this season. By that thing, everybody would stay up. I think Norwich are they're in my certainties, really. I'd say Norwich, Villa, and one other. That one other might be Sunderland. But, you know, everyone would say Allardyce is there, so they're going to be safe. So Bournemouth would be one of the other contenders to be the third spot for me.
Ollie, I'm a big believer in to stay in this league, you need to be able to score. You need a goal scorer. You need goals. Bournemouth are scoring goals. Watford are scoring. They've got goal scorers. Norwich don't really have a goal scorer apart from Jerome at Old Trafford and that, but he's not really a goal scorer, is he?
So they haven't got any goal scorers.
So no. Are they the most vulnerable of the three? Or do
absolutely,
you think they'll be fine?
Yeah. I saw a stat about their goal scorers and it's poor. Lafferty scores goals for Northern Ireland, but he never gets a game for Norwich, which is strange. I don't know why he never gets a game, but I would say that is the main problem. I still can't believe Cameron Jerome scored the other day, or Man United let him score. It's because
makes two of us.
His shooting is dreadful. I mean, even with that chance he had, he hit it straight at De Gea. Yeah. He didn't put it to one side or the other, did he?
Through him, wasn't
he? Yeah. So I can't remember who their other forwards are, but you know, Jerome. Lafferty. I saw the stat. One of them, I don't even think he's played this season, whose name I can't pronounce.
There were four forwards. They've got five goals between them.
But I just think that they've, is it Graben?
Yeah.
Their goal scoring is a problem. And yeah, I agree with Gabe. I think that if of the three promoted teams, they're the one who are in the most danger, because Bournemouth have got a bit of a G up from the fact that they've won some big games, and they beat West Brom the other day, and that was a massive result for them. So they got confidence. So I think they can survive. I really do. And I think Watford be okay. And, you know, let's be honest, Villa, barring America, are down.
Yeah, they're
I mean, Villa, I mean, they're already, what, 10 points
yeah,
clear?
Adrift. They're you done. Know, they're done.
I mean, they need an absolute miracle now. And now he's talking about, oh, in January, I'm going to get rid of Agbonlahor. Yeah, I just think, why are you doing that?
I thought that was weird as well.
You know, I just think that's just bizarre. I would think, listen, I know that at this point in time, he's probably thinking to himself, yeah, I need to clear the decks and get my own team. But this isn't the time. This is the time to actually say, I've got to get through the season with all these players, get them on side, see if I can get out of this trouble, and then at the end of the season I'll get rid of them all. You know, but to get rid of them at this stage, and at Bonhall, I know, you know, flatters to deceive a lot of time of the time, but still, he's a Villa man through and through. The fans love him for whatever reason, and so, you know, they should keep him on board and just say, look, we're gonna all hunker down and fight together. But Villa look like they're doomed.
They're done.
So yeah, I just think that there's only two places to go there. Norwich could go, Sunderland could go, as Gabe was saying, and some other teams might get sucked into it. But I think at least two of those promoted teams will stay up.
Marvin, Watford are currently 1 point off the Champions League's placings. Watford for Europe?
No. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, I like watching Watford play, and I think Troy Deeney is such a... I mean, I know he's got a difficult pass, but he's such a level head. And, you know, when he does an interview after the game, he's very talks about the team. He talks about the partnership with the Galo. It's actually refreshing. And I remember we had a conversation, us talking. They sound like something crazy, like 11 or 12 players. And he's got them playing, they're gelled.
Is that a fluke, or do you think he's genuinely done well to integrate 13 players?
I think, you know, I don't think it's a fluke. I don't know how much is about him or just the fact that the Premier's just find it difficult to deal with Deeney and Agallo, right? I think Kapu as well, I thought was outstanding against Liverpool, right? And I know some Spurs fans still think he's Kapu-A or Kapu shit or whatever they used to call him. But, I mean... He looks like a really, really good player. And I think Gomez in goal, another Spurs reject. And we talked about, you know, Spurs rejects, they ain't the way to keep you up. But Watford have found a way of doing it, right? Yeah. So I think they'll be safe. But, I mean, I just listened to what everybody said. I think it's unanimous about Villa, right? I mean, it's difficult. It's you know, I think there was a game. I can't remember if it was like Villa Swansea. Something was televised. And I was just annoyed that it was televised. Do you know what I mean? Like, they are that bad. This is coming from somebody that's watching United. So I think Villa will go down. But I actually think, you know, I know it's looking unlikely. It is the year of the underdog. But I actually still think both Bournemouth and Norwich will go. I think they'll both go. I think McLaren's picking up enough. And he's getting enough out of the team. The win against Spurs, I think, was...
But it is Newcastle. They'll win six games in a row,
exactly.
And then lose eight
in a row.
And
I think, you know, Big Sam is just... He's, you know, you need to stay up. You call Big Sam. I think, you know, as crap as Sunderland are on paper, I think he might be able to just outdo them. And, you know, you were talking about Bournemouth and goals. I mean, Callum Wilson was such a big blow for them, right? The team was almost built around him. And I remember thinking... This guy can't cut it in the Prem. But he was, you know what I mean? He was doing all right. And, you know, I just feel to myself now, although they packed us out, because we were poor and the set pieces caught us cold, right? But I don't think they looked like scoring a lot of goals from open play. I just don't think there's enough quality there.
Okay, all right.
Swansea could go as well if they're not
just, yeah, I forgot about
you,
them
Marvin
as well,
just
yeah.
reminded me, but Swansea could go. If they don't get the right manager in, I think they, you know, I think they made a mistake getting rid of Gary Monk.
Did you watch the Swansea West Ham game? I was watching it because
I watched the first half.
I had like
work.
Fantasy football in mind, so I really needed Ayew to score. But it was just like it was dire. And I know this. I can't remember Hugh something is their chairman
Jenkins,
and he's like going out to Argentina and meeting like that's just the Swansea
it's
way.
It's been there for like a week and a half.
Yeah, they want. They want
to get Bielsa.
They want another big name. They think the culture at that club is big enough to lure somebody in like they did with Laudrup, etc. So I guess I'm keeping Swansea out of it because I think they probably will get a decent manager in who can do it. And there are some players there. I mean, I still don't rate Gomi, right? I just don't like him as a player. I don't like that stupid panther celebration. That would scare my kids.
He has stopped it now.
But he stopped it now because he's not frigging scoring, George. Do you know what I mean? he can't buy a goal right now. And I agree with Ollie. I think It was so weird because about four, I think when Swansea packed us out, I was watching like the Sunday supplement and they were talking about how many ideas Gary Monk's got and he's refreshing and this, that and the other. The results, as soon as the results started going the wrong way,
it turned on him.
Cold. And I was disappointed because I thought Swansea was in that Middlesbrough-esque type form that they would support somebody. And I was disappointed. I think they made the wrong decision there. But I think there's worse personnel in other clubs that they'll scrape away.
All right. Just finally now, let's move on to you want to talk about Sepp Blatter and FIFA, Marv. Something's clearly irking you there. We know that Sepp Blatter and Michel Platini have been banned from football for 8 years. Was it enough?
Well, I mean, Seb's getting on a bit, right? So in 8 years, I just don't think he'll have the faculties to just walk back into his job. And by then, somebody else would have replaced him that might be doing something.
He was stepping down anyway.
Yeah. And it was weird because I saw him do an interview and he'd obviously had like a mole removed. So he had like a plaster on his face and he's wearing his glasses. I just thought, this is just an old man. Do you know what I mean? I'm just watching an old man here. Like, this is weird. Like, I just thought, oh. And then I started thinking about, it was FIFA's own ethics committee that made the recommendation. And I thought to myself, imagine being in that office where you've got, you know, the office where the ethics committee will sit and they have a chat and everyone else is just walking past going, you know,
he's
you know
what?
You can't use the lunchroom anymore and the toilets are now €500 to use it until...
Your car's not working anymore.
It was just like, how awkward. But I think the Seb thing was inevitable, and I think he'd already been found out, right? Everybody knew that Seb, you know, he was on borrowed time. The Platini thing surprised me, right? I think it surprised me because, A, I think it was the right judgment, but B, I didn't think they had the balls to do it. Because I think a lot of people were saying, before Platini's name got dragged in the mud,
he was
the next guy. And I think even the English FA said they'll get behind Platini as like, the best of a bad bunch, for want of a better word. So that was interesting. But at the end of the day, you know, this whole consultation will give you millions. It's all BS, right? It's backhanders. It's gone on for ages. I'm happy they took a stand. 8 years probably isn't enough, but it's definitely something. That's 8 years. That's 2 World Cups. That's 2 European Championships. It's a long time, George. So at the end of the day, now I just think the governing body needs to heal. They need to get somebody in who is ethical. And somebody who's going to clean up the game, and World Cups and Euros are going to be appointed on people who deserve. I mean, I still can't believe you and I are going to be watching some Qatar World Cup at Christmas time. I can't believe it. Christmas is when we watch FA Cup games and we watch it go down to the wire, games week in, week out. And because of some dodgy dealings in the back room, we're now going to have to start the season
rearrange
earlier.
The whole season,
have a break. It's ridiculous. I'm still annoyed about it.
I'm a bit torn with this whole FA thing because... I just don't buy this whole line from Dyke and the FA that, oh well, you know, they kind of set themselves out as the seekers of truth and justice. I mean, let's be honest, right? Their real problem the FA had is they didn't know who to bung money to. That was the real problem there, because at the end of the day, they lost out, didn't they? They lost out. They tried to bung someone and they bunged the wrong man, didn't they? And then when they bunged him, they didn't bung him enough.
You know,
they were playing the game as well, the FA, you know, and that's why I find it all kind of very...
pulling the kettle black.
Yeah, I find it very difficult to take.
You know what it reminds me of? You know when you're like an English tourist in America, you know you got to tip like the bellboy who brings up your suitcase, but you don't know how to do it. So you're like, you put it in your hand and then it falls on the floor and stuff like that. And he looks down and I think, oh, so right. Like the FA didn't know how to do it. So they thought, we're shit at this, so we might as well go down the ethical route. You know what I mean? We might as well make... We can't bung right, so let's make a stand correctly. I 100% agree.
Yeah. I just thought that they were just so poor. Let's be honest, right? The FA, the World Cups have been bought since time immemorial. Everyone knew it, yeah? The French were doing it. for 98. The Germans did it for 2006. They're all buying it. You know, they all buy. I mean, there's still all this stuff's going through now about 2006. I always thought that 2006 one was dodgy because I was thinking, well, hold on a minute. How on earth can Germany get the World Cup again after they had it in 74 and now they're having it in 2006 as well? What, just because they're there's been reunification there? I'm just not having that. I just thought that was our turn. That was, if any time, that was our turn to get it. And then the Germans came in and it was just like, there's something dodgy going on there. Yeah. And it wasn't right. And I knew then it wasn't right. And now it's all coming out that Beckenbauer was involved in all sorts of dealings. And, it, you know, Beckenbauer's been, you know, being caught cold on TV. And it's like, you know, he's looking a bit of a fool because people are like, you bought it, didn't you? And he's just like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't have anything to do. And now all of a sudden he's kind of like, oh, well, you know, I didn't really have that big a role in it.
I think other countries would go to the body and say, what does it take to get it done? Yeah. Whereas England probably waited to be told what it takes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think Ollie's spot on with Germany as well. Germany probably said, you know, they're efficient, right? They probably said, look, we put your bung in a high interest account. It's going to gross you 8%. Here's your key code. It's done. Do you know what I mean? Like they got that down on pat. Beckenbauer, and the thing is, I think a lot of them, especially with the Jack Warner stuff and stuff like that, there was blood in the water. Everyone was kind of saying, you know what? I wasn't even in that meeting. I just heard that we won it and my name was on the headline.
Don't forget as well, the FA, they tried their best, right? But as I said, they just bunged the wrong man because Jack Warner's not a man you can trust. Jack Warner probably told them, yeah, you bung me,
I'll
yeah?
sort it,
you do everything I want. You give me, you look after me and I'll get you the World Cup. Jack Warner knew he ain't going to get them nothing. Yeah. You know, Jack Warner said to England, don't forget that England went to Trinidad to play and they got Beckham there. They got all the big players. It's like, look, David, you got to do this. We got to get the World Cup. And Man United got stitched up as well. And I've said for time, everyone's always going on about Man United. Yeah. Oh, Man United, they're a disgrace because they ruined the FA Cup. Man United did not ruin the FA Cup. The FA did. The FA said to Man United, you got to go and play in this world tournament because if you don't go and play, we won't win the World Cup. So Man United had to bow out of it. And Man United got the blame. And everyone's, ever since then, everyone's blamed Man United. It wasn't Man United's fault. It was the FA who wanted them to do it.
But did they have to
bow? And they didn't even get it. Huh?
Did they have to bow?
It's so funny
because they had to go and play in this world, you know, that world.
Yeah, I think you're talking like we could have filled
the
two teams.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, it's weird because I've gone from hating Ollie to like agreeing with him 100%. This is why this is a good podcast, because 100% agree with everything he said. And I remember I've read it in about 3 autobiographies where United were like, we want to play in the FA Cup. And we're happy to fill two teams. And they went, no, you've got to show commitment. You've got to go to these world championships. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And we took so much heat off that, especially the fact that Vasco da Gama ripped us apart. It was just like, what a waste of everyone's time.
It was a disgrace
and the FA just sat there.
The FA are
a disgrace. And the thing is, it's the FA. Even the way they sack English managers and stuff, it's like the whole thing, like Hoddle, they wanted to get rid of Hoddle straight away. They thought, oh, we need an excuse here. What's that, an injury story? Yeah, let's run with that. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, a lot of them aren't footballing minds, and I know that Beckenbauer clearly is. And I remember like Crozier went on to like run the post office or something like that, like
ITV.
Yeah, it's like it is one of those things where there are issues and they probably need more footballing minds, and they need to know how to do a bribe. Obviously that's probably those days are gone, but you know, oh, we laugh about it, but if they bribed right, you and I could have seen some
absolutely.
World Cup games. You know
absolutely.
I mean? Seb Coe knows what he's doing.
and even when you look at France as well, here we are again. Now France have got the Euros, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't get nothing. We get nothing in this country. Mm. We get bunged the Euro 96. Like, be happy with that. You know, let's get this straight, right? This is the cradle of football in this country. They are due a World Cup. They are due, not just due a World Cup, Jordan. They're due tournaments on a regular basis. Mm. If the Germans and the French can get it, why can't they get it in this country?
But it's because we've been making the waves now, isn't it? It's like Sepp knows that because we couldn't bung right, we have always called them out from an ethics
perspective. We're the troublemakers now.
Yeah.
And we don't, they're not, well, they
isn't,
don't
it isn't just, it isn't
saw
just
the,
that.
We saw the losers.
It isn't just that. It's also the thing of, Blatter and all the rest of them, there's a real kind of they got a thing about the English. They just think you lot think you invented the game and
yeah,
all that,
and
we
don't,
and
that.
We, you know, we don't like you lot because you're
you
always
don't even have the Euro,
you're always trying to lord it over everyone else. There's a real sense that the English aren't really respected at that level because of the fact that they kind of, you know, there's this sense of entitlement, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that the people who run FIFA don't want England to get anything, but I also think that the FA are just, you know, have proved once again that they just can't run anything. They don't know how to mix with these people. They don't know how to get themselves involved. They don't know how to, and really what they're actually arguing about is not about as Marvin said, it's not about the ethical stance or whatever. It's just that they got caught out.
Wrong, yeah.
They played the game wrong. Mm. They played the game wrong, and they didn't know how to get what they wanted. And now, off the back of that, they were bleating, "Oh yeah, you know, it hasn't been a fair fight." But they were prepared to bung people. They were involved in a lot of dodgy business. And they came out the wrong side of it.
And just finally on FIFA, very briefly, Gabriel, do you think it's a case of now the two biggest heads are gone, they could just be replaced and we can go from there, or they've got to literally just reform the whole of FIFA, burn it down and start again?
Yeah, I think it's a case of reforming it completely. I mean, to be honest, I don't really know much about the other candidates. I don't want to get in the position of be like the FA and say, "Oh, I think Prince Ali should do it." And then I found out that he's bugged 100 people as well. So yeah, I think they should reform it. I think, why does it necessarily need a head? Why does it need a vice person? I mean, yes, you might say you might need a spokesperson. Can't it be a council of people? Can't all of the FAs from the different countries get together and discuss things and do things by a ballot? Why do we need this Sepp Blatter or someone like that? Okay. So that's, I'd say it needs to be reformed.
All right, and just very briefly as we wrap up now, guys, I want a Christmas football wish from all three of you. So going forward now, it can be about your team, it can be about football generally. I want one each of you a football Christmas wish. Start with you, Ollie.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. A Christmas football wish. The Spurs do something?
that would be nice.
Spurs do something at the end of this season, rather than talking about it and talking about stadiums. Oh yeah, fine. The stadium is be wonderful when it's built in 2018. But up until then, there's a lot of football to be played up in 2018, and I'm not interested. Until they open the gates of that new stadium, I'm not really interested in it. And bearing in mind that the league is as it is at the moment, and it's so open, and there are opportunities.
Go for it.
Don't give me this line, because what we found with what's happened with Leicester, yeah, Leicester might not win the league. Yes, Leicester might drop out of the top four, and they might not, you know, finish in the Champions League places. But what we've learned is that all of these clubs, like Spurs, like Liverpool, like Everton, who tell you, "Oh well, you know, we can't compete with the elite. We can't make the top four because we haven't got a big enough stadium." Leicester are doing it. So every result that Leicester get is an embarrassment for teams like Spurs and Liverpool, say that they can't get up there, because Leicester at the moment are up there and doing it with a team, and don't get me wrong when I say this, a team of nobodies, a team that nobody said would actually do what they're doing right now, and they're running with it, and they're playing, and they ain't doing it by boring people, they're doing it by playing fantastic football with two men up front, and they're just taking it to every team. Now, if you're looking at Spurs and Liverpool, especially, and even Everton, who you asked me the other week, "Oh, whether Everton should be a top four side," Everton got beat comprehensively the other day. They got beat comprehensively and that's what I'm saying about Leicester. About Everton. Everton with that team shouldn't get beat by Leicester, and yet Leicester came there the other day and completely outplayed them. Okay. So that I would say, let's see Spurs stop talking about stadiums. Go get on with it.
G.
So, I mean, bearing in mind that we're pretty much out of everything, I want to actually follow...
There's no pretty much, really.
Well, we're still in the Champions League. Yeah.
And you can still finish in the top four.
You could, Gabe.
No, I've been harsh. We could, yeah.
But it's only 11 points.
But, I mean, what I'd really like to see, football-wise, is kind of following from what Ollie said, I'd like to see Leicester actually go on and win the Premier League. I think it will be good for the league. I think it will open things wide open, and also it will able for me to still say that Arsenal haven't won the league in how many years. So, so on that basis, Leicester to win the league, the Tinker Man to get is the Premiership title that he could never get for Chelsea.
Nice. And finally, Marvin.
Yeah, I don't agree with any of that. So, I mean, in an ideal world, my major wish would just be that United excite me again, right? And they play good football. We haven't played good football since even probably before Fergie even left, right? I'd love us to start playing the, you know, the old United swashbuckling way that even at 89, 90 minutes, you knew it wasn't over. I'd love that. I haven't seen my beloved play great football in so long. And then the other one, I'd love a Chelsea relegation, to be honest. I mean, that would be amazing. Imagine going
to get one wish.
Imagine if the champions one season okay, got so relegated.
I'm going to hold you that now. So would you rather see United finish fifth but play really good football from here to the end of the season, or Chelsea go down?
Ooh, that's tough. But if Chelsea go down, are we finishing fourth?
If Chelsea go down, you finish eighth.
Ooh. I mean, if we're finishing eighth, we're out of Europa, we could start again. I'd love a Chelsea relegation.
Okay.
imagine, because George, the bottom line is, if we do this pod next season, Gabe can't be on it. You know what I mean? We can't. And then George would be like, hey, Gabe, did you watch Match of the Day? Gabe would be like, no, I was watching Channel 5. Like, we're talking about big things here, but I'm just kidding with you, Gabe. Honestly, I'd love to see United just play good football, right?
Okay.
It's not a lot to ask for. But it's been a long time since it's happened.
Okay, all right. And on that note, I want to wish everybody a happy Christmas and a safe new year. We will be back on the middle of January to pick up the pod from then. So until then, everybody take it easy and peace.